Lee. It is so good to be here with you guys. It is wonderful. Bless you. Bless you. You know, the Lord does have a great sense of humor because I've never wanted to be a managing chaplain. Let me tell you that up front, because I am not really the religious type, first off. You probably figure that out, right? I'm an Anglican, but I'm not religious. Let me explain that. Religion will never, ever, ever save you in a month of Sundays. Let's get straight on. Is that cool? Do you understand where I'm coming from? That's really important because that's the building block. That's the foundation. Nothing will get you into heaven other than our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah? Isn't that great? I think that's fantastic news. So, you know, and that's wonderful to be here for Prison Sunday. I'd love to tell you a quick little story about something that happened in another prison because God's got a great sense of humor. Earlier in the year, I have a Buddhist chaplain, and this is one of the reasons I wasn't quite sure what the Lord had in mind for me being a managing chaplain, as I've been one for 11 years at Thorn Cross. So, Lord, have you heard me? Lord, you know how I operate? You sure about this? The Lord said, yeah, so I did it. John 2, verse 5, whatever Jesus tells you, do it. That's a good verse. So anyway, a wonderful Buddhist chaplain, Carol Rowley, I invited her to come to a worship event. Oops. Carol came to the worship event. I always have an appeal. We preach the gospel. You hear the gospel today. If you're here for the first time, don't be afraid. If there's something in your life that's broken, my Jesus, same yesterday, today, and forever, he'll fix it. Straight up, Carol came to the worship event. She got saved, hallelujah. And on her way up to receive Holy Communion, as you do when you're a Buddhist chaplain, the Holy Spirit fell on her. Now she goes to a charismatic Catholic church. Anyway, so it's interesting. Carol serves at another prison. I won't tell you the name of the prison because I don't want to embarrass anybody or get myself in trouble. And I wanted to encourage her, so I put her in for a big governor's award, performance recognition. The governor said, yeah. And I thought, well, Lord, everybody at Thorn Cross loves her already. I'd really like to honor her at her prison. I called my governor. He said, yeah. I called the governor. She said, yeah. So rocked up at the day, big thing of flowers, big presentation with the governor, bigged her up big time in front of the ladies, her wonderful Buddhist group, 27. And then it was fantastic. Now, things either got better or worse, depending on your perspective, very quickly. Because Carol said, Sean, I noticed you got your guitar and you got your Bible. Would you like to preach to my Buddhist group, 27 Buddhist ladies? I said, yeah, as you do. I said, yeah, I'd love to do that. I'd love to preach them. And so I did. I started some worship music. I played a couple requests, as you do, little Johnny Cash, little whatever, you know, as you do. And then I preached the gospel. Basically, the gospel is the good news that God through Jesus Christ can transform anyone's life. It's all about Jesus. You got to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, and you get saved. Not by being a good person or a religious person, or there'd be no hope for me. Yeah? I said that there are 27 ladies. And you know, my Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I happen to have a little holy oil on me right here for healing. My Jesus will heal you if you're sick. Anyone need healing? 27 hands went up like this. I said, great, I'm going to put my hand on your shoulder and pray over you in Jesus' name. My Jesus will come and enter into you and heal you. I'm going to anoint you with holy oil on your forehead. Is that cool? 27, 28 including Carol. Got even better or worse depending on your perspective. Because then Carol said, would you like a tour of the prison? Now in prison, it's like a grapevine, isn't it? And within less than two hours, I prayed over 130 prisoners. I ran out of holy oil, as you do. And I ran through a lot of these things as well, because New Testaments, I'm hugely grateful for the Gideons, New Testaments. You see, put one of these in someone's hand, you're giving them a lifeline to Jesus, yeah? Young Luke, who was here, poor Lukey, I think he had to go before he skedaddled. I said, Luke, you take this. I want you to have this. I signed his name on it. It's got some scriptures for him, yeah? Because, you know, this is what will save. This is the word of God, sharper than a double-edged sword, you know. But anyway, you know, when I went to this prison, there was a unit called the Dove Unit, and there's people there who are so broken, they smash your head into the wall, they'll smash staff, they'll smash prison. Staff said, don't go in there, man, they'll break your guitar and hit you. I said, that's great. Sat down quietly, and I mean mad stuff is going on. Some really wild stuff. Don't ever be distracted by your surroundings. Focus on Jesus and the Holy Spirit's anointing. Boldly go. Yeah? You're getting that, eh? I sat down and started playing Amazing Grace. and then preached a short message, and I asked the people there, I said, would anyone like my Jesus to heal him? My Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. I got a little anointing oil here, holy oil, to heal you. And then we need my Jesus to heal him. All the hands went up. They were all sat quietly. No one hit anyone. All of the wild stuff stopped. And the Spirit of God moved on to that unit. That's all to do with my Jesus, nothing to do with me. Well, I think we got a couple of images up on the screen. You might notice I'm wearing some funny things on me here. It's a little bit like Batman. I've got my utility belt. And these things have a purpose. First thing I think is the keys, right? So can you see? All right, when the sun sets you're free indeed. So I want to tell you, the Lord's got a great sense of humor because every day when I go into prison, I have to give my tally in. Now, this is my tally. It says 3-1-1, 3-1, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They're the three I love the most, yeah? That's right. So I hand that in to staff. I say 3-1-1, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And the staff say, they're the ones I love the most. I get my keys. That's how my day starts. I get my keys. Now, I get in usually about 20 past 6 in the morning. Because if you were not prayed up, if you were not you got your war face on for the Lord, you're not ready to do battle, I'll tell you, you're in a dicey place. Bathe everything in prayer. Whatever you do, if you're at school or college or work or whatever, everything you do, bathe it in prayer in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's so important. So I get prayed up. I start about 20 past. I start doing my rounds at 7:45 in the morning. Go on the res units. We have 7 res units. We have an operational capacity of 387 prisoners. When I started 11 years ago, we had juveniles. Some of the 15-year-olds looked like they were 10-year-olds and young offenders. When we lost the funding within the first 2 years, the prison was half empty. So we started taking adults. Now we have around 200 high-risk lifers and IPP prisoners. And guess what? They all need Jesus. It's as simple as that. So I get onto the res units. I want to tell you this to encourage you. Every res unit, when I arrived at Thorn Cross, it's got a little Tannoy speaker system. I remember staff my first day, someone's on the Tannoy. Oh, Mr. Smith, come to the office, please. Mr. Smith. That's a no-brainer. I get on the Tannoy every morning. Good morning, boys. God bless you. God loves you this beautiful 14th day the Lord has made. Because he loves you, and his love for you endures forever. I speak those words of life over my boys and my staff every single day I'm in. I love it. Some people hate doing the rounds. It's called the statutory duties. You check the observation book, make sure everybody's okay. If anyone's on an act, as Stephen said, if anyone's coping, if anyone's had a bereavement, tell them what's going on. You know, if there's a Sycamore course, we absolutely love Sycamore. We love prison fellowship. It's fantastic. But it's all about setting people free. I love that. So that's an important bit of kit for me. And John 8:36 says, when the Son sets you're free indeed. And that's why I feel so at home in prison, because my keys open doors. Jeremiah 29:11-14 talks about the Lord having a future and a hope. Jesus unlocks that future and a hope, yeah? Got another little thing to show you here today, and that's, anyone know what that is? I think we've got an image of it on the screen. I think it looks like a fish almost, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah, that's the one. Okay. And that's called a fish knife. And that's actually what a fish knife is for. Very sadly, if somebody who's been on an act wants to take their life or kill themselves, they'll ligature. And so this is the only knife you'll be allowed to have in a prison. It will cut a ligature, but it won't cut anything else. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So important that the word of God is alive. It is active, and it's got to be in our heart and on our tongue all times, speaking that word over people, the word of life. Well, we got one more little thing. Now, I couldn't find my radio holster, but, you know, most people wear a radio holster. I never need one because I don't go to the phone. I go to the throne, yeah? But there should be a picture of a radio here, and that'll be coming up in a second. I've got my radio mic clipped onto a little clippy thing. It says, call to me, and I will answer you, tell you great and unsearchable things you did not know. Jeremiah 33:3. If, you know, we may not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And if you go to our Lord Jesus, I'll tell you what, he will teach you those things. He'll show you those ways. He'll lead you in the paths that will lead people into that eternal life in and through Christ. You know, I got a few things I want to share. I'm probably running out of time. Shout at me if I start going over, okay? I may not listen to you. I'm going to warn you right now. But you know, can I tell you something really cool? That I love this, the prison fellowship thing. Did you see the guy do the little thing with his hand? Do you know what? That is very spiritual and it fits in with what we're doing. Do you know, does anyone here like Star Trek at all? Trekkies? Yes, yes. Live long and prosper, yeah. Okay, that is actually a Hebrew letter. This is the letter Yod, Yod. It's the first letter in Yahweh's name. It's the first letter in Yeshua HaMashiach's name. Yod is a ninth, sorry, it's a tenth letter in the Hebrew Aleph Bet. And it means arm or hand. It's the smallest letter. And yet the great Torah, the Tanakh, what our Jewish brothers read is Tanakh, Torah Nevim Kedovim, the book of the law, the book of the writings and the prophets, prophecies, right? The teachings. And every word in scripture is joined together by Yod. And when Leonard Nimoy was a little boy, he went to shul one day, to synagogue, and all of the congregation at the very end, when the rabbi goes to bless a people, he makes, you see, the word of the Lord is so holy for our Jewish brothers. They cannot even speak it. They say Hashem, it means the name. But he'll make the sign of Yod, the first letter in Yahweh, in Yeshua. Yeah? And everybody turned their back, but little Leonard looked and he saw that. And the priest goes on, the rabbi, I should say, goes on to say, Baruch atah Adonai Melech Ha'olam, and praises this wonderful prayer and blessing over the people. And Leonard realizes that, hey, that's really cool. That's a blessing. I'm going to use that in my character. And every time you see that, you're receiving a little blessing. Let me tell you something about Yod. This is just so exciting. It's the 10th letter in the Hebrew alphabet. This is incredible. The whole of scriptures is held together by Yod. Hebrews 1 verse 3 says that the whole world is held together by the word, by Christ. It is. There's a real connection. Do you know that there were 10 things created on the first day of creation? There were 10 things that were created on the sixth day of creation. Did you know that there are 10 generations between Adam and Noah? These are the generations of unrighteousness, ungodliness. There were 10 generations of holiness, of godliness between Noah and Abraham. And of course, we know there were the 10 plagues that Pharaoh had to suffer until he let the children of Israel go. There were the 10 commandments, not the 10 suggestions. Or I'd be out of business. There is a tithe. There is a minyan. If there's a synagogue, you need 10 Jewish people. It's 10 to have a fellowship. 10. So, Yod, you've learned a little bit of Hebrew today, eh? What do you think of that? So the Lord will show us great and unsearchable things. I'm going to try to share a few things with you here about this text we have. Let us, if you've got a Bible, maybe you want to pick up your Bible, wave it around the air a second. Okay, that makes the devil really nervous. It's great. I love that. So let us therefore boldly go before God's throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I want to give you a little more Hebrew on this because what we're missing on is the previous verse, verse 15. We hear that Jesus is the high priest. Now, this may not mean a lot to us, but if you are a Jewish person in the second temple, the time of Christ, this would not be an attitude you would take. Okay? And this links with that Yod thing as well, too, because the days of wonder, the Jewish New Year starts at Rosh Hashanah on the first day of Tishri, ends on the 10th day of Tishri with Yom Kippur. What does that mean? Day of Atonement, at one moment. You see, you'll find Christ in all scriptures if you look. And this is really amazing because when it was a day of atonement, the priest, that Levite that was chosen to go in and minister in the Holy of Holies, it was so holy. If you touched the ark of, you see, it wasn't the throne of grace. The word that is used is chesed. Chesed is a covering over the ark of the covenant. It was so holy. If you touched it, you'd die. So what did they do? They would put a rope around the priest's leg. So if he popped his clogs, they could pull him out of the Holy of Holies and get him. He's so holy. The Lord is so holy. But Jesus is our high priest, so we can boldly go. We can boldly go. We have authority in Jesus' name. We don't have to fear. You see, any first century Jew who would have heard this would have been freaking out because you didn't go boldly anywhere in the Holy of Holies. You went with fear and trembling. That could be your last gig. Yeah? True. True. And yet, Jesus is the one who is torn. What happened when Jesus died on the cross? Remember, He spoke out, then he cried out, Elohi, Elohi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that's because Jesus had taken on the sins of the world. He'd become so filthy with sin, my sin. Father had to turn his back on him for us to pay for all of our sins. That all that we have to do is confess with our mouth and believe in our heart Jesus Christ is Lord and we'll be saved. Yeah. I'm going to race through some stuff here. How would you live for Christ if you knew that you could boldly go and do anything for Jesus? Would it make a difference if you knew you would always be victorious in Christ? And by victorious, I don't mean avoiding or eluding pain or suffering or sorrow. That's part of the journey. It's part of the process. The gift of suffering is something that makes us more like Christ. Don't confuse things. The answer is that God will fight our battles. Exodus 14:14 says, the Lord will fight for you. You have only to be still. You have only to be still. The Lord will fight for you. We have to trust in him. We have to be in his presence. We have to be still. Like that Holy of Holies, we've got to be in the presence to get the anointing, you know? Yeah. That God will fight our battles means that you do not have to anguish, be anxious, be discouraged when bad things happen to your lives. When a situation seems hopeless or a matter seems out of control for us or things are too overwhelming, they're not. It's a matter of perspective. Check this out. Here's some promises. God's promised to take care of us. Philippians 4, verse 19. Check this out. Don't trust me. Go to the Word. Like I said earlier, don't go to the phone. Go to the throne. Very important. God makes good plans for us. Jeremiah 29, 11 to 14. I've already mentioned that scripture. But also, God promises to love us in and through Jesus beyond measure. That's Romans 8, 37 to 39. I want to unpack for you something that happened in the desert. Moses, who led the children of Israel out of Egypt, remember the Yod, the 10 plagues? And remember, God hardened Pharaoh's heart, didn't he? God hardened Pharaoh's heart. So it's the Lord's fault they're in this wilderness experience, running away from Pharaoh's army. And they find themselves hemmed in. They've got the Red Sea in front of us, Pharaoh's army behind us, and they're kind of panicking. And most, if we're really honest, I think most of the children of Israel at the time probably didn't expect, the last thing they thought is for the Red Sea to part, for them to walk through. But then they realized, the Lord God will fight for you. You have only to be still and trust in me. You see, the thing is often we forget when trouble comes up against us, when the enemy tries to have a go, when the devil tries to harm you, you see, he's not picked a fight with you, my friend. He has picked a fight with the living God because God's got no grandchildren. He's got children. I'm looking at them right now. You're it. I'm it. I want you to do me a favor. Just take your hands like this for a second. Go like that. Look at your hand. No, put it in front of you. Go like that. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is at hand. Whose hands are that? Who do they belong to? You think they're yours, eh? They're Jesus. That's Jesus' hands. Yeah. And that's when the kingdom happens, when we surrender completely to God. Well, I'm just going to share with you a couple more thoughts I got here. I do apologize. I've been kind of ill for 2 days. So anything, the beauty of it, I love it. It's great because, you know, the more we are under the weather, whatever, the more Jesus is exalted. It is so important for us to be humble before God. Because I always tell new inductions, prisoners, I always tell them first off, they say, boss, don't worry, I'm not religious. I say, son, thank goodness, neither am I. Because religion will never save you. And I tell them, the only good thing in me is Jesus. The only thing that will save you is Jesus. That's as simply as I can put it. I think am I running really out of time, or have I got a few minutes? A few minutes, all right, cool. Well, I want you to think about the Lord who will fight for you, who is there for you, who will never leave you nor abandon you. I want you to think about Jesus, God's precious Son. Maybe it's your first time to come to church today. Maybe you've just come to learn about prisons, and that's great. That's wonderful. Because you're not here by accident. The Lord has called you here. And I just want to explain something to you. You know, if you'd like to have one of these lovely Thorncross New Testaments, if you'll notice the logo, it says Rehabilitative Community opportunity to grow, and it looks like a sycamore tree. Steve, I wonder how that happened. Looks like a sycamore tree with a hand in the middle, reaching up. Remember prayer. The Jewish people pray in three ways. If they're really serious with God, it's called barach, they lie face down. If they're praying normally, like at the Western Wall, davening, that's tadach. If they're really going for it crazy, wild with worship, like we do here, that's called halal. The hand is reaching up. The Lord will reach down, always, when you reach to Him. But I just want to tell you this. If maybe you haven't given your life to Jesus, maybe you've thought, you know, I've been a pretty good guy. There's nothing wrong with me. I'll get into heaven. It's not like that. A mouse can live in the cookie jar. It doesn't make him a cookie. And the only way we have that assurance of forgiveness of all of our sins in heaven when we die is by confessing with our mouth and believing with our heart Jesus Christ is Lord. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that dynamite verse, TNT, says you've got to believe in your heart Jesus Christ the Lord. God raised him and confess with your mouth. It's like getting married. Until you say, I do, you don't. So I'm going to pray a 10-second little prayer for you. And if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord, in fact, why don't we, can you do me a favor? If you can, don't do this if you really, really don't want to, but could you all please stand up for a second? Just stand up for a second. Just stick your hands out like this, like you're going to receive £1 million. Because this is better. I'm going to pray this. And if you want to receive this, just say it out loud. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came down to earth, born in a manger, to die on the cross, to wash away my sins. Now say this a little louder now. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my life. Take hold of my heart. I humble myself before you. Take all there is of me. I give you everything that I am. I pray that you'll bless me and break me and make me holy for your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please sit down. If you pray that prayer for the first time, please come afterwards and get one of these New Testaments. I've just got one other thing I'd like to share with you before we have a short video clip. And I'll ask Steve Hawkins if he can help me, please. I've got a really nice little flip chart from one of our boys who did Sycamore week before last. He wrote this. This is what we want here, Steve, if you can hold that up. Bless you, brother. Now, some of you might think people in prison, really, that's not my thing. And it's just a bit of a laugh and a joke. Let's unfold that thing so we can see the whole thingy. But that bit, a really important bit, is right down there. Now, I don't know if you can see this. You can come and see it later. But I wanted to read you what this young man wrote about Zacchaeus coming to meet Jesus. He wrote this. This is part of his belief, having attended 5 sessions at Sycamore. It says, Zac became a better in himself. He would be poor financially, but rich in spirit. His work had become more trustworthy. He'd be a model in the community, a role model. He'd be more acceptable, feel safer, more happier. And then how would it make you feel as a prisoner if you had that kind of encounter with Jesus? This young man who wrote this said, you'd be more settled. You'd not be looking over your shoulder. You'd be less stressed. You'd have peace of mind, right? Would you think that young fella is worthy of God's love and forgiveness? I want to tell you, the young fella that wrote that was shot a week ago, almost to this hour, in Liverpool. His name's Carl. And I want to tell you, this young man had forsaken all of the crime and all of the stuff he had done in the past. He had turned his back on it. He went to Sycamore. He heard the restorative justice gospel. He had taken his level, he finished his level 1 in bargaining, and he was waiting to get on a course for his level 2. And these are his words, and that is his writing. And I'll tell you right now, God loves people in prison. And he wants us to have a heart for people in prison. And he is calling for people who want to come and help set captives free. So I just want to bless you and thank Pastor Lee and Stephen for having me here today. I just got one short little video clip for you to watch. I want you to look very carefully at the face of the young offender in the very last scene. Let God speak to you. Thank you so much. God bless you.